name.
Brexit.
It's about finding a pathway forward.
News on News with Mark Latham.
The leader of One Nation in New South Wales, Mark Latham, joins me this afternoon. G'day, Mark.
G'day, Brent. Great to hear your voice on the radio. Welcome back.
Thank you, mate. Yes, good to be back in the chair and nice to have you back on, as part of the program. It's been a long seven, almost 8 weeks. Boy, what a lead-up. What a lead-up to this election. It hasn't even been announced yet whether it's going to be the 14th or the 21st. I suppose it doesn't really matter. It's only weeks away. We'll probably know by this time next week, as they suggest that Scott Morrison has to make the announcement by Sunday. Is that correct?
It depends whether he's going on the 14th or the 21st.
That makes sense.
21st is a possibility because I think from Morrison's point of view, he's behind in the polls. He wants the longest possible campaign. Normally it's a 5 week campaign federally, but he might want 6 weeks,
right,
to try and make up lost ground. So we'll find out, I'm sure, by this weekend. He can't delay forever. It's time to go, but it will be a long campaign, and the reality is it's already started, and there's a few fireworks around the place. So
yeah, well, we've been talking this afternoon about what went on yesterday at the Edgeworth pub. I'll play a little bit of it here, Mark, again.
Look, mate, in 1991 Social Security Act, yeah, that's what you're relying on.
Let me talk.
Okay, this is what you said when you got elected last time. Mm. We're going to help all those people that worked all their lives, yeah, paid their taxes, yeah, and those that have a go will, yeah, get a go. Hey, you better do something. No, okay. I don't care. No, I'm sick of your.
Now, look, he was trying to make a point. It is funny when you listen to it. I had an email this afternoon that said he'd probably spent too much time in the bar before he actually got a chance to say something to the Prime Minister.
Well, that's a feature of campaigning in a pub. You'll find all sorts of characters, and some have had a couple of beers, others are just starting out. So campaigning in the pub is a lottery, and I think at the point where you start using the F word of the Prime Minister, you've lost your chance
to be heard any further.
Yeah, I think he was going all right. You know, he's entitled to fire up a bit and make his points as he did about his pension and broken promises and the like, but dropping the F-bomb was a surefire way of ending the conversation. So at Edgeworth Tavern there, he looks like a bit of a character, that fellow. He's obviously become a bit of a political legend for Morrison's opponents overnight. But, you know, this is what democracy is about. You get some people who want to pat you on the back, others who are neutral, others who want to call you every name under the sun. So that's why we have our freedoms. And I think that exchange, while part humour, is also part of tribute to Scott Morrison that he walked into the pub and, you know, caught one on the chin.
You've been there, done that on the campaign trail for the leadership of the country. Why do advisers and minders place their leaders from both sides of politics in positions like this?
Well, I suppose it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. You can have a completely stage-managed campaign where you only go to safe venues where your supporters are hand-picked and placed to talk to you, and the whole thing is artificial, probably with the massive social media and other scrutiny these days. That stage-managed approach over 6 weeks of a campaign, at some point it'll blow up on you. It'll be found out that, you know, that person was a Liberal Party or a Labor Party plant. So that's one side of the equation. The other is to do something that is spontaneous. And it's impossible, obviously, to control the environment walking into a pub. You will find a range of characters, just as we have a range of voting intentions on polling day. So I'm not against what Morrison did there. I think it's better than the stage-managed, fully artificial approach where he only talks to planted, hand-picked supporters of his. I'd like to see more politicians walk into the pub and up to the point of swearing, of course, up to the point of that sort of language, have an exchange of views. And if someone fires up and they've got complaints, well, you're the Prime Minister of the country or the opposition leader, and you've got to listen to those complaints and take them on board and get a feel for what, you know, real people in a real setting have got to say.
Conversely, yesterday in Western Australia, Anthony Albanese had someone at a press conference, a member of the public, trying to ask him a question. One thinks it was going to be on climate change, and of course Anthony Albanese refused to answer the question. In fact, he refused to even allow the gentleman to ask the question. So we sort of go from one extreme to the other in situation.
Morrison very much had an unscripted moment. Albanese, it was the stage-managed approach that I mentioned earlier on,
yes,
where he said he's standing there in the middle of Perth with Mark McGowan answering questions, but he was only going to take them from the media in that organised fashion. Well, if someone wanders into your press conference and says he's got a tough question and you say you're up for the question, well, you've really got to hear the person out. The person's a voter. He wasn't rude about it. He just said, you know, it's nice to see you in my part of the world, my patch, and I've got a tough question for you. Are you up for it? And Albanese initially said yes, but then changed his mind and said, oh, it's only registered journalists who are allowed to ask questions in this forum. Well, I think our democracy's got to be a bit more freewheeling and open. You know, it's not just for media people to ask questions in an election campaign. If you're walking down a shopping centre or you're in a pub or someone walks into your press conference and they've got a legitimate question, I think you should give them a crack. So, yeah, I think yesterday in those two incidents you saw a summary of what sort of election campaigner you can have, the stage managed with Albanese or the unscripted with Scott Morrison, and perhaps they'll reverse roles over the next 6 weeks.
Do you think over the next 6 weeks, as we get closer to election day, that we will see less of playing the man and more of telling us what the policies are about for each party?
Well, I hope so. I mean, my outlook for the campaign really is that Australian politics at that level has become more personal, more spiteful, to some degree nastier than we've ever seen. I mean, there's an intensity about it now. Morrison's personality, Albanese's personality, it's sort of the politics of personal destruction. It's not very healthy for our system. An election really should be a contest of ideas, a battle of policy, who's got the best plan over the next 3 years for Australia's best interests. And some of the things that are being said about Morrison and Albanese, I really hope that that's left in the past and the campaign proper is about analysis of policy, a debate. I hope the two leaders come together in different forums and have four or five active debates, because we've hardly heard from them any real policy rollout that says this is my plan, a detailed plan for Australia over the next 3 years. And they really should be debating each other as much as possible so we hear more of that. Otherwise, Brent, we're going to have an election campaign that basically, you know, comes up with very little that's of value to the country other than this sort of endless dissection of personality and character.
What do you think of the character assassinations, I suppose you could call it that, of in recent weeks, of the Prime Minister?
Well, they've been from his own side. There's been some people who put their head up as a product of these pre-selection battles inside the New South Wales Liberal Party, and it does seem strange that they've only just got around to getting their full slate of candidates for a big state like New South Wales. But there have been some faction wars inside the Liberal Party. People have let off steam. I'm in the upper house with Catherine Cusack, the Liberal MLC, who's one of those who's got stuck into Morrison. I would be very confident she hasn't had a conversation with Scott Morrison for over a decade.
Right.
So she's at a different level of politics, and she's letting off steam about a lot of grievances. For instance, she was trying to blame the fact that the education minister in New South Wales is a National Party person, not a Liberal, attaching that to Morrison. Well, that was just completely irrelevant. So a lot of these things are perhaps more a reflection on the person doing the character assassination than Morrison himself. And Brent, overall, when it comes to the earlier point, my general impression of today's politics is that the average voter is over what I call the skirmish. They're over the personal battles and character assassination. They want to hear about value for them. How do their kids get a better education? How do they keep their job? How do they put more money in the bank? How do they buy a house? You know, what's the future for them and their family? And they're over the sort of petty skirmishes of politics and want some policy debate and value. So hopefully that's where the campaign ends. Otherwise, I think there's going to be a lot of people frustrated looking at the two parties and the leaders and thinking, what the hell was it all about?
How much damage does the story that broke only about 48 hours ago, whereby Anthony Albanese had said that, as part of a budget reply speech, that he was going to make sure that there was a qualified nurse stroke sister in an aged care facility 24/7. And people from his own side have come out since then and said, well, maybe we can't do that because we, A, don't have enough trained staff, and B, we don't have enough money to be able to afford it.
Well, it was a half-baked policy. I think it's a really good idea to have a registered qualified nurse in these nursing homes 24/7, and the government has moved sort of three-quarters that way. I think their policy is 15 or 18 hours a day. So, you know, 24/7 would be a really good idea, but you can't put that policy out unless you can fund it, yes, unless you've got the available nurses. Now, it would not have been unacceptable for Albanese to say, over the 3 years of our government, we'll train some more nurses. We'll perhaps get some nurses from overseas even, and at the end of the 3 years, we'll be able to implement the policy. But Albanese gave the impression it was going to happen overnight, and that obviously is not possible. So, yeah, he got found short that he didn't have the detail and he didn't have a realistic time frame in which to implement the policy. So, yeah, that I think that's a bit of sloppy policy work by Labor. I haven't announced many policies, the ALP, but there was one that obviously hadn't been thought through and developed properly.
This is also part of the problem for Anthony Albanese. You said it yourself, they haven't announced many policies. When do they plan to announce these policies? Because repetition is the mother of skill, and repetition teaches us. So if they're wanting to get their policies in people's heads, they should start telling us pretty soon.
Yeah, I don't think they're planning to, quite frankly, Brent. There'll be some announcements, obviously, but the Labor strategy's been twofold. One, to be a very small target themselves, unlike Bill Shorten and his disastrous tax policies 3 years ago. Don't repeat that mistake. Mm-hmm. So Albanese's rolled himself up into a small ball. And the second strategy has been keep the focus on Morrison and launch character assassination against the Prime Minister. So Labor has been the instigator of this more personal style of politics. In the polls, it has been working for them. Whether it's sustainable through an election campaign, we'll have to see. But, geez, they've got a lot of policy announcement to undertake, haven't they? How they balance the budget, what they want to do on tax, what's their plan for the education system. We've got huge challenges in education, and Labor's basically said nothing in that area, very little detail on health policy, not much there at all. Their defence plan, the rise of China. I mean, you could write hundreds of pages of policy that Labor needs to govern the country properly. And they've probably only, you know, got into the first chapter of what they need to do. So they're a long way short, and it's true, for a full plan for the country's future, they've got a lot of work to do.
They're playing, obviously, the man. They're building or trying to build on the fact that at the moment all the polls seem to be coming out. The only consistency in the polls is that Scott Morrison's not the most popular boy in the shop at the moment.
Well, they've dragged him down over time, haven't they? I suppose it started with that ill-fated trip to Hawaii during the New South Wales and Victorian bushfires. But then Morrison bounced back, and his COVID response was thought to be pretty good, up to the point where the vaccine rollout wasn't real flash. But they've immersed Morrison in a whole bunch of scandals that, you know, I've got to say, it looks a bit incongruous. I mean, say the stuff about women in Parliament House, you know, Morrison strikes me as probably the most Christian, monogamous, faithful man that's ever been Prime Minister. But somehow he's linked to sex scandals in Parliament House. So yeah. Labor and Morrison's enemies in the media have entangled him in stuff that's, you know, I think very unfair. But other failings of the government, particularly the vaccine rollout and some of the flood response, for example, recently. Yeah, Morrison's got a, you know, except that big mistakes were made, and there'll be electoral consequences for that.
We're talking to the leader of One Nation in New South Wales, Mark Latham. We've got to take a break. We'll continue our conversation after this.